This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you that a slip of the lip may sink a ship. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Thursday, September 14th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray is in with the sports. And we'll have a visit from the very pale museum curator. What a show we've got for you, folks. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Rudolph's Furniture. They have a 5-piece modern breakfast table and chairs for just $29. Rudolph's Furniture at Tower and Belknap in Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Allies have entered the Third Reich. The offensive is advancing on the city of Aachen, while several German towns have been captured. On the Eastern Front, the Red Army is fighting in the suburbs of Warsaw. We begin our World Shortwave report from Germany.
This is inside the Third Reich. GIs and tanks smashed 2 miles deep into the Siegfried Line on a front 4 miles wide today. Germans defending the home soil against the first major Allied assault fought like fanatics from thinly garrisoned and lightly armed fortifications. The Yanks had to blast them bunker by bunker, pillbox by pillbox. Initial stiff resistance was encountered 1/2 mile across the Ur River, where the Wehrmacht sprayed advancing Allied columns with machine gun and rifle fire. Houses in a village had to be set ablaze to rout out German soldiers. Allies hold a tremendous advantage with tanks and artillery, while Germans possess only small arms. It has been almost 3 years since journalists were expelled from Germany. As the correspondent from Berlin, I say it's good to be back. With the Americans in Germany, this is Max Jordan calling Louis Lochner near Rotgen.
This is Louis Lochner with the First Army. Fighting today advanced beyond the captured city of Rotgen. Yanks encountered the dragon tooth barriers of the Siegfried Line today, but they prevailed. I can't give the names of the villages taken, but I can say that the target is the great Nazi communication center of Aachen. The Americans are moving forward at a great scale. This offensive creates an arc from Holland into Germany, around Aachen. Lieutenant General Courtney Hodges' troops are said to have penetrated the outskirts of Aachen, where the Allies captured Rotgen last night. Meanwhile, General George Patton's Third Army broke into open ground in France near Nancy. To add to that, Allied Expeditionary Headquarters is telling us that our boys are attacking the port city of Brest, 500 miles behind the line. Much of this is sketchy since a news blackout is in place during this apparently huge offensive. Resistance, while determined, is said to be much weaker than expected. Fellows here believe the Krauts may be pulling back to make a stand 40 miles east of here at the Rhine. This is Louis Lochner with the First Army. Come in, Poland.
This is Poland. Eddie Gilmore here with the Red Army. Massive Russian forces are assaulting Praga, the industrial suburb of the war-torn capital of Warsaw. Praga is near the east bank of the Vistula River. We've also had reports of a massive push of other Red Army troops on the Czecho-Slovak frontier, with Cossack patrols crossing the border. Still another group is pushing through Romania into the corner of Transylvania. The whole picture of enlivened activity on this Eastern Front is an indication that Marshal Stalin has resumed an all-out offensive toward Germany itself. On the outskirts of Warsaw, this is Eddie Gilmore, calling the Central Pacific. Come in, the Philippines.
This is the Central Pacific. Correspondent Daryl Berrigan here. The Battle of the Philippines is reaching a new intensity. Smashing American carrier attacks on Jap fighter planes cost the enemy 200 aircraft on Monday. Aircraft carriers are continuing heavy raids on Leyte on Luzon Island. It is at Luzon that the Allies must eventually take Manila, 2.5 years after it fell to the Nippon invasion in 1942. We've also learned of a second daring carrier raid on the Philippines. Admiral Chester Nimitz called it a deep penetration of the islands of Cebu, Panay, and Negros. It is there that 150 Jap planes were caught by surprise on the ground and destroyed, and another 50 planes were shot out of the sky. With the Carrier Task Force in the Philippines, this is Daryl Barragan reporting.
Nazi propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels has told the German people that Allied forces have crossed into Germany and that the situation is grave. But in a Berlin broadcast, Herr Goebbels quoted, "In this war, there can be no greater mistake than to allow success to lull oneself into a sense of security." The U.S. Fifth Army is battering the forward edges of the Nazi Gothic Line in central Italy. Reports say that German resistance is increasing tremendously on a 25-mile front. Lieutenant Mark Clark's Fifth Army now includes several British divisions. Said General Clark, "Future gains will be a test of Allied might against the German will to resist." Supreme Allied Headquarters announced that since D-Day, the 1st, 3rd, and 7th Armies have captured more than 320,000 German soldiers. Even so, American military casualties continue to climb. At a news conference today, Secretary of War Henry Stimson says American casualties in all theaters of war now equal 390,000. That includes 87,000 killed in action. Among the wounded, Secretary Stimson says that more than 72,000 men returned to active duty. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou, and indeed I do, friends. From Rudolph's Furniture, Tower and Belknap in Superior. A complete bedroom set, folks, available to you for $109 cheap. How about that? Comfortable mattress, $14.95. Coil spring, $10. Waterfall bed, vanity, bench, roomy chest. Pair of pillows will be just $5.95. And two vanity lamps, by golly, two. Both you and I won't say it. Two people can read at once for just $5.95 apiece. Boy, let myself in for something there. Yes, sir, that's Rudolph's Furniture, Tower and Belknap, open Thursday evenings until 9 p.m. Get over there. Lou?
A Minang sailor missing for more than a year has been declared dead. Mr. and Mrs. Fred Smith received word from the Naval Department that their son Harold was officially declared dead July the 11th. The 25-year-old Smith was lost when his ship was sunk July the 10th, 1943, off the coast of Sicily. Two new cases of polio were reported in Milwaukee yesterday, raising the city's total to 54 since the outbreak began in July. State Health Commissioner Dr. Carl Newport says he doesn't think that an all-out quarantine is necessary at this time, but local boards can take action as they see it. Bayfield County women have put in long hours for the Red Cross in the past year. Mrs. M.C. Cake of Washburn says that women donated 7,700 hours knitting garments and sewing kit bags for men in service. Washburn women contributed nearly 3,000 hours, while smaller communities like Bayfield contributed 601 hours, Cornucopia 126 hours, Cable 492 hours, Barnes 388, Ulu 423, Iron River 450, and Mason 537 hours. And finally, Jack, Governor Walter Goodland sends his compliments to the Wisconsin Tavern Keepers Association. Taverns have pledged to close their doors when Germany surrenders. Governor Goodland says that VE Day is no time for celebration, but all citizens must approach it as Christian men and women and not lose their sense of proportion.
No party hats either?
And no whistles or horns.
Lou Martin, the party pooping-est newsman around. The forecast for this wonderful Wednesday, September 14th, 1944, calls for cooler temperatures. Tonight's low will dip down to about 44 degrees, with a high tomorrow of 55 under partly sunny skies. Let's kick things off with a brand new number from the 1944 hit parade by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. This is Opus 1 on the Martin and McKenna Show. Tommy Dorsey with Buddy Rich on the drums and Opus One on Station KUWS. Hey, Lou has something very special for us.
Associated Press is keeping tabs on how far the Allies are from Berlin. It's called the Road to Berlin. At last count, we are 312 miles from Berlin on the Russian front and 319 miles from Berlin on the Western front. The Italian front is 583 miles from Berlin.
I've got an idea. You're going to like it, because it means free food.
Let's just say that I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay. People like to hang out at the Black Cat Cafe because it's the hip place to be.
I go there because it's cheap and the coffee's good.
That figures. But other people think it's pretty hip. And why do they consider that place like the Black Cat to be the cat's meow?
I don't know, but I am concerned about your sense of humor.
They go there because radio types like us and others hang out there.
Now I'm concerned about your sense of reality.
So I've told Black Cat Mac that he can use our names on sandwiches. In return, we get a free sandwich every week.
And you did this without asking me?
I didn't ask Ray or Harriet or Engineer Joe or Raffy either.
The Black Cat Cafe is going to have a Colonel Raffly sandwich. You know, I don't want to be drafted at this stage of my life.
Oh, boy. Time for more great tunes, then. Here's what I consider Bunny Berrigan's very best. This is I Can't Get Started With You on the Martin and McKenna Sandwich Show. That went right up to the heavens, didn't it, that note? Buddy Berrigan and his orchestra, and I can't get started with you on Station KUWS.
Let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. Tonight, I'll tell you the tale of August Zachow, a pioneer of Superior. This story was written by Mr. Zachow himself in 1854.
I love olden time stories. Although I suppose 1854 seems like just yesterday to you.
Yes, I mean, of course, no. Getting to Superior in 1854 was very difficult. There were no roads, no trains, no. So Mr. Zachow left St. Paul, took a train to Chicago, then Detroit, and took a boat from there to Superior. Yes, he was a brave soul.
He arrived in 1854 and decided to stay?
Yes, yes, he stayed. August Zachow was the first sheriff. He took the first prisoner from Superior to Waupun State Penitentiary, and he celebrated one of the first Christmases in Superior.
A Christmas tree with all the trimmings.
Yes. I mean, no, we had no luxuries, no modern conveniences. The hardships of those days were many.
I suppose you had to get some bear to play Santa Claus.
Yes, very funny.
Get it? Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S?
My concern for your sense of humor is becoming acute.
Thank you. But I prefer handsome.
Yes?
The first Christmas, Mr. Snow.
They celebrated at the Chronicle newspaper office by the Nemadji River. Everybody in town... There weren't many of us then. Everybody gathered and partook of the fare offered. We had salt pork and beans, rabbit meat. That was rather tough, but the partridge was pleasant. Then we had many dainties.
Partook? Dainties? Who talks like that? You were back there, weren't you? You're some kind of a weird, no-aging, weird Ponce de Leon guy.
Yes, sorry. That's just the way I speak. Everybody gave speeches about the future of Superior, and we had a delicious punch. We even had a stage dance, since there were no women in Superior in 1854. That was awkward. I don't think my toes ever recovered from that Christmas.
Another fascinating story. Thank you, Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe.
Yes, but I must say my feelings are distressed.
Nobody asked you to dance?
Jack can't help it. He just says things.
How do you know I'm the reason Jerry's feelings are hurt?
Life experience.
Yes, Mr. Jack mentioned all those people, those important people who will have a sandwich in their name.
You want a Gerald Stowe sandwich at the Black Cat? I can arrange that.
Oh, goody. I'll write down the ingredients and leave that for you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jack and Mr. Lou.
Hey, Rapid Ray is next with the sports. This one's for Mr. Stowe. The Pied Pipers and their new song, Dream, from the 1944 hit parade on the Martin and McKenna Way Back Show.
Dream. Thank you. A song for your sweetie. Nice, slow dance number, unless there aren't any women around. That's the Pied Pipers and Dream on Station KUWS. Hey, Ray, you're here.
Yep. Hey, we get a free sandwich at the Black Cat, but no money?
Well, it's the best deal I could work out. We're not quite up there with deals Bing Crosby gets, I guess. But now with the sports, here's Paulson.
Well, whoa. How do you follow that? Thanks, Jake, I think. Good evening, fans of the sporting world. Sad news from the Superior State Teachers football front. Varsity football is out. For the same reason as a year ago, not enough men. Only 39 men attend STC, and only 17 are interested in playing football. Of those 17, only 6 ever played the game. Athletic Director Tony DeMarco says they will have intramural contests on campus using 6-man teams. High school football opens tomorrow here at the Head of the Lakes. Uncle Sam isn't drafting them yet. The first contest has Morgan Park taking on Two Harbors at Public School Stadium. Friday, Superior East Orientals invade Proctor, and Duluth Denfeld journeys to Crosby Ironton. The Superior Central Vikings open their season next week. Connie Mack says the Detroit Tigers are the best bet to win the AL pennant this year. The owner of the Philadelphia Athletics says pitchers Dizzy Trout and Hal Newhouser will make the difference for the Bengals. The National Professional Football League season opens Sunday, and you betcha those Packers of Green Bay are ready. Coach Curly Lambeau sent his squad through a 4-hour drill to get them ready to face the Brooklyn Tigers. Former Texas star halfback Roy McKay is hurt, but Coach Lambeau expects McKay to be back in the saddle to face the Chicago Bears on September 24th. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
And we've got to decide what the sandwiches will be, Ray, so stick around. Here's a fine number now from Johnny Mercer and Candy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Candy, I call my sugar candy,
because I'm sweet on candy, and candy's sweet on me. Candy's always handy
when I need sympathy.
I wish that there were 4 of her so I could love much more of her.
She has taken my complete heart.
Got a sweet tooth for my sweetheart Candy.
It's gonna be just dandy
the day I take my Candy and make her mine, all mine. Just dandy
the day I
from Johnny Mercer. That's Candy on Station KUWS. Lou Martin is in with some news flashes.
From London, the American First Army reports it's penetrated 8 miles into Germany in a general advance. They are 1 mile from the strategic city of Aachen. From the U.S. 9th Air Force Base, two American fighter aces have been declared missing in action. They include one from northern Minnesota, Major Don Bierbauer of Hill City, and Colonel Wallace Emmer of St. Louis, Missouri. Both failed to return after raids over France August the 9th. Major Bierbauer has 18 kills and Colonel Emmer 14. And from Washington, for the first time since 1941, the War Production Board is allowing steel to be diverted from military needs to civilian goods. 100,000 tons of steel will be used to make things like refrigerators and cars, Jack.
Maybe the end is really near. All right, Lou, you first. What's a Lou Martin sandwich?
Steak and onions. And they better charge at least 25 cents for it.
My guess is you'd want that on whole wheat.
Toasted.
Ray?
Well, consistent with my personality, a rapid Ray sandwich would have ham and turkey with mayo and pumpernickel. Love that pumpernickel. How about that, sport fans?
I would have guessed a hot dog smothered in relish. I took the liberty of selecting a few of our colleagues' ingredients in their absence.
I don't know.
I'm glad I'm here.
For Harriet, something wholesome, tasty, with a surprise.
That sounds like Harriet.
So the Harriet Hatter sandwich is peanut butter and pickles on white bread.
It's a good thing radio listeners can't hear people wincing.
Colonel Raffley is a pig's knuckle sandwich on sour doughboy bread. And last but not least, museum curator Gerald Stowe, he left a note with you, Lou.
He has very nice handwriting.
They did that back in the 1850s.
It says, blood sausage sandwich on slightly burned toast.
Jeez. It fits, you know. Stay tuned for the Lone Ranger, Duffy's Tavern, and Governor Dewey's speech. All coming up tonight, folks. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, that is, and our free sandwich isn't a Gerald Stowe special. For Lou Martin and Ray Paulson, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Joel Anderson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.